We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're chatting today with Manhattan Mayor Wynn Butler and City Manager Ron Fear. The City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight. And if you've got any phone calls or any questions, we'll take your phone calls here at 785-537-1350. It's been a rather quiet phone line here today. We'll continue on here a little bit on the consent agenda. There's some other items here of note, Mr. Fear.
Yeah, so, the last meeting, the commission approved the establishment of our local historic district, residential historic district. That was the Lee Elementary Neighborhood Historic District. So the second reading of the ordinance for that is on the consent agenda for the establishment of that district. We also have some regulations in City Park, and this is kind of a correction to some that we had made, anticipating with the construction and the lack of parking available for Aggieville because of the parking structure being constructed. We had anticipated creating some 3-hour parking in the portions of the northern portion of City Park. We haven't really implemented that, and based on feedback for employees working in Aggieville that need to be able to work and park more than 3 hours, we're recommending the commission modify the previous action they took and just make all the parking in City Park, at least at this point, unrestricted to help accommodate folks and leave allow that for the employees and leave the parking on the streets in Aggieville open to customers. So that's a slight modification we're making on this recommendation, at least until the parking garage gets open again. Then we'll have another phase of parking adjustments to make. We also are getting ready to issue some general obligation bonds and start that GO bond sale proposal and issuing some temporary notes, about $25.7 million. There's a lot of them there. Some are special assessment projects that are 100% special assessments to the property owners. And then we have some other projects we're putting in permanent financing on with as well as some temporary notes for some projects that are covered by FEMA. And our portion of the funding out at Frank Annenberg Park with the parking lot and some of the other improvements. We've got some meter replacement work on some of our water meters, our headquarters fire station generator that we're replacing, of course, joint maintenance facility. Again, these are just all of the construction financing for these particular projects, as well as Kimball and Candlewood street improvements and the Kimball Avenue reconstruction for some of those stormwater improvements that we've been talking about. So that's that temporary note series. We also have annual licensing agreement with Cisco for some of our computer hardware. And then we have, I think the mayor's got some board appointments as well.
All right. That's a lot of stuff here on the consent agenda. I'm curious on the joint maintenance facility. Have you guys started on that yet? Is that dirt moving
yet?
It
has not started yet, no.
Okay.
I was still working on, I think they have had the pre-construction conference for it and starting to line up the approach to that particular project.
All right. Well, last week we heard of a closure on 3rd Street over there, kind of near the mall. Is that still closed right now, or what's been happening over there?
It is closed. There was some voids under the pavement, and apparently there was some of the adjacent owner of some of the buildings had noticed some when we did get some of the rain that they had a little more water than they typically would have. So we looked at some of the voids. We didn't know if there might have been a failure either in the storm sewer system or the sanitary sewer system. We did find a pretty big void that was there under the pavement. And so we have filled that void and used some flowable fill. And since we've done all that repair work, They've done some dye testing in our utility lines, both the sanitary sewer and the storm sewer, and not detecting any dye anywhere where it shouldn't be. And so they're comfortable going ahead and starting to put that pavement back on. So they've poured, I think, the first section, and hopefully that section will be poured. The other section will be poured tomorrow. And then we'll let that cure a little bit and be able to open up North 3rd Street, north of, I think it's closed from about Points to the alley, past the alley.
Okay. That sounds like it could have crisis averted for the most part.
Yes. And we had a similar sinkhole underneath Leavenworth Street a few months ago that, again, we didn't have any failures in any of our systems, but sometimes it's strange where some of these voids can happen underneath the pavement.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned you won't be open until it's cured. A lot of people sometimes get irritated. They say, well, the street's been repaired. Why are the cones still there? You know, why is it closed for 2-3 days? Well, you need to let it cure the proper amount of time. Otherwise, you're going to have cracks and other failures. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that. It's not that they forgot to remove the cones. There's a logic behind it.
All right. Well, definitely can't wait for that to reopen here. We've got some other discussion items here. I know last week it was a pretty busy work session, a lot of discussion on what's going to happen over in the Plaza West shopping center area. And I know there's some open houses this week that people can come out and kind of give their feedback. Is that right?
Yes.
I believe that's right. I don't have those. I'm sorry. I don't have those times and dates in front of me, but certainly our consultant, Santec, in conjunction with the Flint Hills Regional Council, who provided some grant opportunities through the EPA to look at redevelopment opportunities. So, you know, obviously we have an area that has been impacted by flooding there over the past couple decades, actually, of different types of flooding that's occurred. And then, so looking at how can that area be redeveloped given those challenges. And, you know, so looking at different, they'll be bringing back some concepts as to, you know, what fits within our current regulations that allows and really doesn't put any development in harm's way. So how do we work with some of those limitations that are there, but still claim back some of the value that's been lost? Obviously, that's an area that's declined in value significantly because of the flood damage that's occurred, and we have done some residential buyouts in that area. So how can we reposition things and still make that a viable area that folks would want to invest in and certainly be part of? So they had just obviously started some of the concepts, and we're looking for feedback from the commissioners, and they got quite a bit of feedback from commissioners about, you know, what might be acceptable and certainly what would not be acceptable. So I think it gives a framework to look at as to, you know, how we might improve services in that particular area and the types of services that might be desirable.
By the way, the date on that open house, it's tomorrow, 4:30 to 7 p.m. at the Midwest Dream Car Collection. I looked that up here. And there's a lot of proposals out there, Mayor Butler, and I know you live on that side of town, and there's some that you probably favor, and there's probably some that you don't.
Yeah, I you know, went to the first open house there, you know, and walked around and looked at it. And, you know, as we talked about the commission meeting, the main issue is the flooding, and we don't want to make it worse. And so, you know, whatever you build there, you know, the idea of infill or piling a bunch of dirt in there is not something that I particularly favor. And you know, we also talked a little bit about you know, the scheme there to take down the bridge that's there on Anderson and make it a boulevard. And I'm personally not in favor of that. A lot of people have commented on that. Just doesn't seem like the right way to go. But I hope they can come up with a, you know, innovative, creative plan to put something in there that will actually work and fit within the parameters of not making flooding worse and make use of the property, because there's a lot of acreage there. You know, and I commented, and it didn't go very far, that just as a temporary thing that we could do, use it to park oversized vehicles, you know, tractor trailers, things like that, because there is no place to park those in town. And some of the truck drivers, you know, have commented about that to me, you know, like, you know, we can't park anywhere in town. And we got all these regulations not allowing you to park it in most places. And so that'd be an interesting use for it, you know, for the next few months or maybe the next year or so before it does get developed, because right now it's not being used at all.
Hmm. And it's interesting. Would lowering that bridge, wouldn't that create a flood hazard? It seems to me it would.
Well, you know, the various engineer studies, you know, you can believe them or not, you know, they claim that they can do it, make it a boulevard and the way it works. I just, I guess I'm just used to having that bridge there. And it just seems to me that, yeah, we got some congestion a couple times a day, and to tear the bridge down just to solve that, I think we'd be better off to look at closing some curb cuts at McDonald's and extending the lanes out. I think there's some other ways to handle that traffic problem there.
So one of the limitations we have there is just the abutments from the overpass itself of Seth Child passing over Anderson. So we're limited to being able to widen Anderson under the bridge without actually either replacing the bridge and making that under area wider, and subsequently widening Anderson a lot further in both directions. So that has impacts on those adjacent businesses. The concept in the corridor study, which hasn't been finalized yet, was instead of having a grade separated overpass, would be to take that grading down and make it a typical intersection. So the thought process there is you actually gain real estate on the corners of that. So instead of limiting it, and still have substantial width to be able to accommodate some of your traffic growth challenges, to be able to create a double turn left turn lane, for example, without the left turn lane getting into the through lanes, which is what's happening now. And then the mayor's right. It's only happening at certain times of the day, but those are things to weigh and whether or not that's something that would be long-term beneficial. You know, right now, I think that overpass is probably in good shape, but, you know, at some point, you're going to have to spend significant amounts of money to maintain and repair that bridge. And as an alternative, you might be able to do away with that. So there's pros and cons to both of those. And those are certainly some things that can be considered in the future. Hmm. We are going to have to do some significant improvements to the pavement between Seth Child and Reith on Anderson, though. That pavement condition is deteriorating. We've had a lot of joint failure there. We've made some temporary fixes to that, but that's certainly going to be high on our pavement management list to do something with.
All right. Just to dispel any rumors, there is no plans to put a giant roundabout in there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, very good. We have enough roundabouts. I think people would not want one in that location, more than likely. So good to know. City Commission meets 7 o'clock tonight, City Hall. You can view the meeting online, cityofmhk.com/TV, the Facebook page, Cox Cable Channel 3, or in person. And guys, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Okay, good. Thanks, to Brandon. See you today, Brandon.
That's going to wrap up our show today. In Focus returns tomorrow. USD 383 and Manhattan Fire Department are scheduled guests here for tomorrow.